for bearing with me, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a tough week, I realize that. Zender's coming down pretty hard on organized religion, but again, this is a necessary prelude. There's a method to this madness. I need to establish this beyond a shadow of a doubt and repeat it in so many different ways because of what is coming. That is under the sixth seal, which will eliminate religion from the face of the earth, the religion of the nations, the idol worship of the nations, mentioned by our own apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 10. I really thought about that phrase I gave you yesterday, and I want to talk more about it. It's so startling to me. Sins sanctified and sacred. Sins sanctified and sacred. Now, this is a phenomenon. And you, your entire life, I believe, maybe I'll speak for myself, have been misdirected. I was misdirected what I thought sins were. Well, I lied to my sister. I mean, I'm a 10-year-old. And you're trying to think of things that you did, which was tough for me because I was such a pure and holy child. I might have lied to my sister. I really didn't, Kelly. You're watching this and you're going, when did you lie to me? I never did. I had to think of something, right? You cannot go into the confessional of Catholicism empty-handed. You got to have sins, man. I watched Bewitched. I ate ice cream at the Greenwich. No, I didn't do that when I was a kid. You have to come up with something. You have to drum up some sins. If you don't have any, you make them up. And that's what we did. But these were the sins that we were told were going to separate us from God. And then if we did not somehow say the right prayers to deliver ourselves from these sins, then we would go to hell for eternity. God wouldn't like this anymore. Wouldn't like us. And yet, at the same time that I was confessing these, what they call little white sins, or, well, the white lies, what do they call them? Not venial sins, not mortal sins, venial sins. You could get deliverance from those if you said the right amount of prayers. It was the mortal sins that would separate you from God for eternity. But even while this sin sham, was going on. I coined that term today. There were sins that were being sanctified and made sacred from the pulpit. So the little sins I had to deal with were really a subcategory underneath the whole sin of thinking I had to confess sins to the priest. Look at that. Watch this. It was a sin to tell me that a human being that looked like, what can I say, that looked like Don Rickles, dressed in a black suit with a white collar, it was a sin to say that this man, who God knows what he did in his private life, that this man was authorized because he went to a religious school to deliver me from my sins by assigning me prayers that I was to say by rote. That was a gigantic sin. That was the worst sin. That was actually, listen to this, a sanctified sin, a sacred sin. That was a sin that was prostituted and made to be a shining light, an example of what we were to do. And in order to keep people from seeing that was a, in fact, great evil, they occupied you, preoccupied you with, I watched Bewitched. I ate one too many hamburgers at the 4th of July festival. I forgot to give up something for Lent. Or worse, I gave up chocolate for Lent and I ate a Hershey's Kiss. Mwah. And it's happening today. I mean, it doesn't just happen in the Catholic ritual of my childhood. It's happening today. Sin, self, and sanitation have all been sanctified. Sin, self, and sanitation. It's a worship of self, a self-deliverance that hides the greatest sin. All these things, again, are operating under the umbrella of big-time hairy monster sins such as eternal torment and You can lose your salvation. All these things that scare the daylights out of people. Look at that. Isn't that an amazing phenomenon? Only beings of demonic source can be this intelligent to have actually package this into a pleasant little pill and delivered it to you every Sunday morning. Here's something about priestcraft. It's always organized to get. It's always organized to get and not to give. And in this, I see a great correspondence between government, between big government and big religion. It's all organized to get. What does government produce, really? It's not a producer, it's a consumer. And so religion is the same way. Tell me what religion produces. It only exists to feed itself. Some could really make this case for government. It exists to feed itself. It's bloated. It's got too many managers. All the money that it takes in is only to sustain itself. Does it produce a product? Well, you could say it paves the roads, builds schools. We don't need government to do that. Joe's Paving Company. How's that? It's bloated. And religion is also bloated. All the money it gets is to sustain itself. And so I ask you, what does it give? What does religion give? Heartache, fear, guilt, worry? Wow, that's a real epic list. I want to read the last... I'm going to go to the end of this particular chapter of the book we're studying in here. And this will be my launching place for next week. Because next week, my plan is, and I set this plan before God, is to go into the specifics of the Earth's four religions, and to go into the source of those religions and to tell you why there are four messengers bound at the river Euphrates. You just got a big hint. Four religions, four messengers. Here's the last paragraph of this particular chapter in the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which is a chapter called The Second Woe, which is the sixth trumpet. The sixth trumpet details the destruction of the four great world religions. These can have no place in the kingdom of God and of Christ. The whole conflict is essentially superhuman. And it is. Earth is the stage for superhuman conflict. And again, we can look at all of our skirmishes, all of our wars, the wars of our generation, World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, the Gulf War, whatever. And we can elevate these as the Catholic Church does sins. And we can say, oh, isn't this something? Isn't this the epitome, the best, the greatest, the worst slash greatest? Or we can raise the viewpoint and see that there is a larger conflict. And the larger conflict is superhuman conflict. It is conflict among the celestials that is organized and enacted upon the earth. It's the same thing with the sins. We have these sins on the surface that we're all taken with and we're all consumed with and worried about, when in fact greater sins are being worked upon us in order for us to take heed to these smaller sins. It's all deception. And likewise with the skirmishes that we're used to on this earth. These skirmishes are so insignificant compared to the superhuman skirmishes that are going on. And these skirmishes are against good and evil spirits. There is a world that we can't see that is a world of the spirits, the spirit world, and they are influencing the world of humanity. And I'm going to go into details of that next week and show you that there were four spirits that were sent to earth by ultimately God to form humanity into four major religions. And now at the river Euphrates, there are bound four messengers who, when they are loosed, will go about the earth destroying the four religions brought about by the four evil spirits seen by Daniel in chapter 7 of the prophecy bearing his name. Isn't this amazing? And these four messengers are in charge of 200 million supernatural, shall we call them, for lack of a better term, that was John's problem too, lack of a better term, horsemen. Now you're seeing it. This is the second to last thing that happens before the kingdom comes upon the earth. Not just to Israel. It's going to be administered from Israel, but it's coming to the earth. Coming to an earth near you, the only one you know. And the whole conflict that precedes the coming of this kingdom is essentially superhuman, though men are the pawns on the board. We come back now to the sovereignty of God. Men, human beings, are pawns on a board. I've heard so many times that Obama is just a pawn. There are greater powers at work. He's a puppet. There are many, I'm not doubting it, there are many puppet regimes, called so-called, on the earth that are really moved by, you know, certain individuals. They're individuals with money that set up organizations, money laundering schemes. It's a false front for a higher power, for a greater mind. This is what we're seeing. We're seeing the earth now controlled by very few people that are in charge of the money. And they're operating through these false companies, false programs, or whatever, so they can work their will. Well, raise your viewpoint even higher and see that the invisible spiritual world are working these individuals who are working the earthly systems that we are in contact with. So you have to keep raising the viewpoint. Say, well, who sent this? Okay, well, who sent that? Okay, well, who sent him? Okay. And of course, the buck stops at God's desk. But in the meantime, this is a superhuman conflict and men are pawns. Human beings are pawns. Behind human religions are the demons whom they deify. Behind human religions are the demons whom they, the humans, deify. They deify them. They call them God. That's the name they give them. Even they call them Jesus. But Paul makes it clear to us that there's a different Jesus being worshipped, even in his day, a different Jesus whom we do not herald. I am not heralding to you the Jesus that you're hearing about in church. Because behind this religion are the demons whom those of the religion deify. Not only the religions have to be destroyed, but the adherents of the religions, the leaders and the followers, must be eliminated, as in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Against them, that is, against these false followers of a religion, who look as true as can be, against them are the four messengers and their terrible horsemen. Demonism is given its death stroke. That's not happened today. Those who say the kingdom has come, those preterists who say that all this stuff has already happened, are you kidding? Demonism is not given its death stroke until these cavalry are released by the four messengers bound today, as I speak, at the river Euphrates. To be loosed by a messenger of God, probably the messenger of the waters. Because the river Euphrates is water. This is the big picture. And when demonism is given its death stroke, you're going to know. You're not going to have a discussion. I wonder if demonism has been given its death stroke. He won't have to ask that question because it's going to be so obvious. Because the church down the road is going to be gone, obliterated, literally not there. And the temple in Jerusalem that was destroyed by Titus, that was just a microcosm of what is going to happen at the end of this eon. Though it is not completely done away until the seventh trumpet sounds. Not completely done away. When you see which religion is destroyed first of the four religions, you're going to be shocked. You probably already know, but I'm going to save it. And the last woe works havoc with the hosts of unrepentant humanity. Humanity is unrepentant because it's been hardened. It's been hardened by false conceptions of God. These, by the light we have in the Gospel of Paul, we are dispelling. But we're dispelling it for one person here, one person there. when the sixth messenger sounds the trumpet, the visions of the false god will be dispelled everywhere.